Technorama episode 415 for October 29, 2014, Rancor Stool Sample.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking to start a new business. Where do you keep the books on moisture farming?
Over there, in the media corner.
Better than Amazon.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for October 29, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. You are in for something.
Something. Yeah.
Wow, that was something. If you're a returning listener, wow. You know what? Something awaits you. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great, man. I'm really great. Great.
Great. It's great.
It's great.
And joining me in the binary studio is, of course,
Technorama. Michael.
Hey, wow, he does that pretty good.
I do that really good.
Technorama.
Because
that's the guy who did this.
That's me.
Sound just like him.
It does sound just like me. How funny is that? Yeah. Gosh, that's been years ago.
2006. Yeah.
Glad I still sound the same.
I think we all have kids about that age or older or something.
Hey, by the way, have you guys seen the movie Gravity?
Yes.
Couple times.
I just watched it for the first time.
That's intense.
It was. I really liked it.
Yeah, you get done with that movie and it's like, okay, it's time to breathe.
Let's go to the car and the car blows up. Now let's go to another car and let's take the bus and the bus falls apart. Now let's take the train.
Well, she went from the highest place to the lowest place in the ocean. I'm like, good Lord.
No kidding.
And then, right when it was done, I got a text message from NASA that the space station was over my area.
Nice.
So I went outside. I'm like,
waiting for people to drop out of the space station for you.
Yeah, this looks like the last scene in the movie.
Hey, I'll be ready.
And speaking of things falling out of the sky, that would be our show. Coming up in this episode, we have old books, cool cars, and how to beat red light cameras. I'm curious about that.
Yes, me too.
Coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Hi, this is Erin Gray, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
You know, I wonder if Nuchus realizes that soda, no, the beer can opening, whatever it was, where it was.
Yeah. Sounds like a soda, yeah. Yeah.
It makes the most cool looking waveform. It looks like a heartbeat almost, like an EKG thing. It's like, wow, that was pretty.
Hey, beer equals heart, right?
Drink beer.
Heart beer.
Beer. It's good for your heart.
I was just happy to hear Erin Gray.
We had to play that because we were harassing Craig about Gil Gerard last week.
Really? Erin Gray still looks really good.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yes, she does.
And Gil Gerard. No, I'm just kidding.
And then there's Gil.
He's all right, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's all right.
All right.
Feedback.
All right. All right.
Letters. Boom, oh, boom, we get letters. Boom, boom, boom. We get your letters boom, every day. Boom. Mailman.
cheer along. Oh boy.
Ding dong. Now I got a paper cut.
We have feedback. We have two audio feedbacks. One, of course, is pretty much what it sounds like. Whoops. Well, cut the music and play the feedback.
Hello. Hey, I'm trying to leave some feedback for this Technorama. I think you guys need more feedback on your show.
Yeah. Thank you, caller.
Play Scruffy.
That was the feedback? That we need more feedback. Okay, good. Thanks. That's helpful.
It's like Scruffy, you know. He goes, "I call him like I see him."
Scruffy left some feedback. Mm.
We have a legitimate one, also.
Hi, Chuck and Craig. This is Mad Marv. So, talking about college and leaving your legacy on the school rules, I attended school.
Yes, I need to back up for those that missed the last show. Both of you, we were talking years ago when Julie was on the show. We had a rule. We were doing an article about these students who created a motorized couch.
Mm.
And they were riding around campus on their motorized couch.
Sure.
And then campus came out with a rule. No motorized couches allowed on campus.
That's a very specific rule.
And I told Julie when she went up to campus.
So you turned it into a motorized toilet. That's...
And now you're on double secret probation.
So I said, when you go to college, make sure that you leave behind a legacy of some rule. Not something that's going to get anybody in trouble or hurt, but just leave something behind. So Kyle called in and said, hey, I got one.
This other engineering student, call his name George. And the George rule was created after he... basically, he flunked the same class 3 times in a row, basically because some people are just not cut out to be engineers. On the 4th time he took that class, he got a pity D, I guess. He happened to switch professors on that last class, so I guess it's not really a personal thing between him and the professor. So anyway, the rule now at the University of Hawaii College of Engineering, at least so I've heard, I've never seen it written down anywhere, is that if you fail the same class twice, you're expelled from the school.
Wow.
Whoa,
and that's the
harsh.
George rule. And I ended up taking that class with him, I think, the first time he failed. And I got to say, he didn't really do anything wrong. He attended all the classes. He turned in all of his homework and failed all the tests. But then again, there were a lot of us in that category as well. I just barely managed to squeak by with a C in that class. But that's the George rule. I wonder if there's any others.
Interesting. That's kind of harsh.
Well, yeah, and you would think that they want the money.
Right. Like, they don't really care.
Take the course 25
exactly.
times. I don't care. Well,
exactly.
I don't know if it's you still want credits. But I don't know if you want an engineer that can't pass the course.
Well, lowest bidder.
I was going to say, have you seen some of the bridges built in this country?
And it's time for a good refit.
Point. Yeah, good point. Another letter from
our listeners today. Thank you, Technorama singers. Now we need the Technorama marching band. Right on cue.
Nice. Yeah.
On this day in tech history for October 29th, 2014, this is the 302nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 63 more days in 2014. It was on this date in 1675 that Leibniz, you know, Isaac Newton's friend.
Okay.
He made the first use of the long S as the symbol for the integral in calculus.
Hmm.
When I was in college, I was into girls. Michael, take it away.
Oh, boy. It was 227 years ago today that Mozart's opera Don Giovanni received its first performance in Prague.
Don Giovanni!
Don Giovanni!
Craig's turn.
And, yeah, 18 countries in Geneva. And
they meet in Geneva.
18 countries meet in Geneva and agree to form an international Red Cross 151 years ago today.
The first ticker tape parade takes place in New York City.
New York City!
When office workers spontaneously throw chairs out the windows, ticker tape into the streets as the Statue of Liberty is dedicated on this date in 1886.
Hmm. 85 years ago today, the New York Stock Exchange crashes. A great day in history. In what will be called the Crash of 29 or Black Tuesday, ending the great bull market of the 1920s and beginning the Great Depression.
In that same date in 1969, the first ever computer-to-computer link is established at the ARPANET, the precursor to the internet.
And pop-up ads were coming right along after it on the next day.
Yeah, promptly afterwards.
It was 23 years ago today that the American Galileo spacecraft makes its closest approach to 951 Gaspra, becoming the first probe to visit an asteroid.
Space Shuttle Discovery blasts off on STS-95 with 77-year-old John Glenn on board, making it him the oldest person to go into space 16 years ago today.
And October 26, 1998, ATS-CHD-TV broadcasting in the United States is inaugurated with the launch of STS-95 space station or space shuttle's mission.
98? Wow.
Interesting. Cool.
Delta Airlines merges with Northwest Airlines, creating the world's largest airline and reducing the number of U.S. legacy carriers to 5 just 6 years ago today.
And exactly 1 year ago today, Turkey opens a sea tunnel connecting Europe. So I read that as sea turtle.
Yeah. I was focused on the turkey.
Turkey opens a sea turtle connecting Europe and Asia across the, whatever that is, Strait of Istanbul.
The Bosporus.
Bosporus, yeah.
It's one of those things you clean your windows with.
Sure, that's it.
Bosporus, it's glows in the dark.
It's a sham wow.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to English mathematician and astronomer Martin Fuchs, born on this date in 1690.
Also today in 1880, Russian physicist Abraham Loew.
Abraham Loew. Bob Ross, American painter and television host, would have been 72 today.
It's a now happy little tree.
Happy little clouds. Happy little trees.
He's painting happy little clouds. He's up in the happy little clouds now.
That's right.
Yes, he is.
Actor, singer, and producer. Singer? Richard Dreyfuss sings?
Yes, sings. Well, he sang in Mr. Holland's opus.
Okay. So he's 67 today. You know
he's also
what?
The spokesperson for Honda.
I think he's going to need a bigger boat for his birthday. Your turn.
My turn? I'm sorry. Yeah. One year younger is former Charlie's Angels actress, director, and producer, Kate Jackson.
Another woman who's aged fairly well.
Yes.
And one of our favorite voice actors, Dan I can never say his last name right. Castanella.
Yeah, whatever.
Just say
he's 57 years old today.
Oh, man.
And finally, reaching 43 is American mathematician, cryptologist, and academic Daniel J. Bernstein.
Would that be academist?
Academist.
You go to school forever.
Yes.
You don't ever graduate. We all know some of those people. I'm an academic.
I am a career student.
I took this course 25 times.
I'm a student of life.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for October 29th, 2014. So long, marching band.
Yay. Yeah.
They went through the other exit. All right. Good.
they just march out of the hall and out the front door.
Yeah. That's right.
We have.
Let's
do that again. Is it this one, Mike? The Winamp one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Impending news, everyone.
I don't like the sound of that.
Oh, it's not good because, you know, you're not supposed to sell things licensed under Lucas or Disney. And these people sound like they were skirting the issue. Craig, would you like this one?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I was trying to pull it up so I could talking about it. Yeah, but I can't.
Quick. Apparently, no one read the show notes. Okay. A small brewery in upstate New York has incurred the wrath of Star Wars franchise by naming one of its signature lagers Strikes Back. Okay, now this will make sense when you realize that it came from the Empire Brewery. So what do you think the label says?
Empire Strikes Back. Wow.
Okay, now just calling yourself the Empire Brewery isn't bad enough. But if you start doing things like this, you have to recognize, apparently they don't know what a lot of cosplayers and nerds already know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, TD0013, our favorite resident stormtrooper, made several batches of Arrogant Blaster Ale, and I still have one of those bottles, and he was making those and passing those around for a long time.
But he wasn't selling them.
Well, yeah, he wasn't selling them, but it was still out there.
This is a microbrew. They're in business. You gotta have some more sense than that. We named it Strikes Bach because we thought it was a clever pun. Monica Palmer, Empire's director of marketing, told CNN. We weren't trying to infringe on anything.
No, not at all.
We were just trying to make a nice beer with a funny name.
Right.
Like sure. Minnie Mouse Pants. Not so, says Lucasfilm, which notes in its filing, applicants Empire Strikes Bach mark is virtually identical in sound, appearance, and connotation to Lucasfilm's The Empire Strikes Back mark, differing by only one letter in the respective last words Bach and Back, and the initial word The. Okay, well, it's like...
Okay, well, and I'm wondering how much of this has to do with now it's Disney.
I think Lucas was okay with fan stuff, but he was still pretty protective of the naming rights.
Well, that's true, because that guy was building the helmets in England, and they went in and shut him down.
Right,
because
you can't sell that stuff. You can build your own all you want.
Even though it was the guy that designed the helmets, and that got to be really a gray area.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you made it for Lucasfilm. They kind of, you know,
I
see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We ran into the same kind of thing.
But then again, there's Halloween masks based on all kinds of crap, you know, and I don't know if they're officially licensed.
We ran into that with the Dragon Con parade when we were looking at ways to do a robot Santa. We thought, oh, we'll do an inflatable on the back of a trailer. Mm-hmm. Who can build us an inflatable? Nobody, because they can't sell something made in that
character. We contacted a couple people, and they told us, no.
Yeah, that's the general response we got on everybody about this idea. Yeah.
And you know what I did? I turned to Twitter and tweeted Matt Groening, but I never heard back from him.
I wonder why.
Yeah. I was like, that'd be awesome if they supported the idea.
Hey, I got a great idea.
Good luck with that, buddy. Well, you know, this actually goes to a much larger topic that we've had on our shows for many, many, many years, and that is, you know, publicity for properties that are kind of on the fringe. Now, obviously, Star Wars is never going to go away. It's part of the human lexicon for the rest of history.
Right.
But there are those that are kind of on the border that get into these squabbles, too. And my contention was always, isn't it better to have somebody talking about you and keeping the property alive than to go after somebody like this for a small monetary reason as opposed to the greater... You know, it goes back to the Japanese manga stuff. You know, Japan really understands this. They're obviously, it's getting kind of out of hand and they're trying to scale it back a little bit. But they don't have a lot of problems with people... basically emulating and taking their work and really, you know, going with it, even though it's kind of outside of the copyright thing, because they know that it's keeping the property alive. It's keeping the interest of the property alive.
I kind of get it from the other standpoint, though, because there's a fine line.
Right.
If it's a guy selling beer, you know, what do you do when somebody has too much and gets in a car accident or something? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's always that gray area of... What's the legalities of it?
Right.
Exactly? How do you promote your product, your fandom without, you know, and I think it comes down to, hey, if you're selling something, the rights are ours.
You know what would have been really cool? It would have been a better story if Lucasfilm came in and just cut a deal with the guy.
Well, and that could happen too. I mean, it all really does come down to money.
Yep,
if a percentage of it all of a sudden ends up in Lucasfilms, hey, they're going to be great with it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I kept thinking of when I saw this, and then you mentioned TD0013 was making his own, the blaster, what'd you call
Arrogant
it?
Arrogant Blaster Ale, a take on the Arrogant Bastard Ale from Stone.
I was thinking somebody personal, they can slap any label they want on it. And I started thinking about Hank Schrader from Breaking Bad, where he had the Schrader brow.
Would we get in trouble if we brewed up a batch of old Fortran?
That's right.
We'll have to call it like Old Pascal or something.
Old Pascal.
Old Cobol.
Old Cobol. Cobol. The Lords of Cobol. No.
Yeah. Now you're treading. Now you're treading.
All right. We saw this next story and I had to just, it had one of those that you read the headline and just has Technorama written all over it. So Chewbacca, Freddy Krueger, and Where's Waldo break up a fight between Mr. Incredible and Batgirl.
Nice.
They covered all the properties right there.
There we go.
This is a local.
I'd watch that movie.
A local video news report about a fight between Mr. Incredible and Batgirl on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater. Chewbacca and Freddy Krueger and Where's Waldo? He's right there in the picture. Where's Waldo? They try to break them up. It's really just sad more than anything.
Wow.
Now, this video is from a local news thing. It appears to show Mr. Incredible and Batgirl struggling with Chewbacca attempting to break up the tussle. After, you know, don't make a Wookiee mad. He'll rip your arms out of the sockets.
He's choking, and they were trying to find his trachea. You know?
He does look a little short in this video.
a little short for a Wookiee.
He is a short Wookiee.
Yeah.
They try to hold back Mr. Incredible, but he gets loose and chases Batgirl before punching and kicking her and flipping her on the sidewalk. Bystanders then chase the characters off. The good ones were stationary. We'll stand against the curb. People come to us, Batman said. Just, I can't read this with a straight
face. I know.
That's funny.
You're getting all choked up.
Are these people like walking the street in costumes? Because I've seen that.
There must have been a con nearby or something.
Or it might just be that they were hanging out together. Well, there was some event going on.
I was watching a clip from Conan O'Brien the other day, and it was Triumph the, you know, comic dog.
Oh, Triumph the comic dog.
I love Triumph, you know, but he was out in the street screwing with people in costume, and people would pose with these people and take pictures. Look like they were just doing it on the street for money. There was a couple of scenes where you could see all these people in costume and they're exchanging money. He said, looks like a drug deal going down.
It was a sci-fi drug deal.
Yeah. And then it turned into this thing where, you know, it's just a puppet, right? Well, they must have got the bright idea to come back with a whole full bodysuit of Triumph. So Triumph had this huge cigar and was doing this crass stuff and people jumping their legs and
nice.
It was funny, but that's what I was thinking of. I wonder if this was a same kind of situation where these are people just on the street and they were, you know, people would pose and take pictures with them.
Batman's a mean drunk.
I would get that. I'm freaking Batman.
I'll show you a Dark Knight.
Hey, Robin. Come over here.
Oh, no. Listener birthday calendar I'm going to bring in to stop that nonsense. We have October 30th. October 30th is Wolf Geek from Indiana. November 1st, Amber Elstad. November 3rd, we have two birthdays, Ken Pace and Ranger Craig, a.k.a. Craig Glassner. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it's your birthday this week and you're not on the birthday calendar, you can fix that. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name there. And we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of the year, or just follow the show note links and says where it says visit our wiki. You can click that. And if it is your birthday, happy birthday to you. We are going to take a short break. Coming back with more stuff from the Remember When segment, some fascinating things I did not know. And if you want to find NASA sounds, we'll show you where.
Welcome to Madam Cisco's Mystic Network. I am Madam Cisco. Please, everyone, sit down around the table and join hands to form a network into the other world. You, sir, what is your name?
Me? My name's Craig.
Craig, do you have someone you wish to talk to from the great beyond?
Yes, I want to contact my grandfather. His name's Richard. He passed away about a year ago.
Silence, everyone. Please, we must concentrate. Concentrate. Concentrate! Richard, we are calling out to you. Richard, can you hear us? No. Richard, please come in.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Richard. Is there anything you would like to ask your grandson, Craig?
Yes, Craig. Oh, it's good to see you. I've been meaning to ask you this since my death a year ago.
Yes, Grandpa, what?
Do you think you can walk me through installing Firefox instead of Internet Explorer?
What? A computer quit? I came all this way and I get enough computer questions down here. Shoot, I can't believe it, man.
What? What did I say?
Hey, this is Kate Vernon, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Craig, do you even remember making that?
I never did get my answer.
It's running IE3.
Three.
He died a few years ago. That was an old, old bit we did.
Yeah.
Get him Chrome. It's easier.
Yeah, we're going to have to update that one now.
I don't think Chrome was out when we made that. That's why
it was not.
No.
We have hacks and brain stories. It's true. More stuff from Back to the Future is coming out.
Yay.
This thing was so interesting because it went back and forth so many times on Facebook. Is it real? Is it not? Is this fake news? Is it really possible to do something like this?
Read on from Engadget, Mr. Michael.
Well, there you go. It's impossible to talk about hoverboards without invoking particular movie titles, so we're not going to try. Remember that awesome scene from Back to the Future? Part two.
Yeah.
When Marty McFly jumps on his hoverboard.
They don't work over water, apparently.
Yeah, it doesn't work over water. But he jumps on his hoverboard.
Excuse me.
Evidently, we're a step closer to that reality. A California startup just built a real working hoverboard. ArxPax. Is that correct?
I think so.
Is attempting to crowdfund the Hendo hoverboard as proof of concept for its hover engine technology. It's not quite the floating skateboard of Marty McFly. Mm-hmm. However, it is obviously the precursor to the imagined rideable, self-powered, levitating platform with enough power to lift a full-grown adult. And the video on this is actually pretty
Is it like a
cool.
maglev thing?
It's kind of a maglev technology. Now, this technology does not work on concrete. It actually has to be on a copper surface. So they made
a
copper
skateboard ramp.
Yeah, they made a copper half pipe and they turned it on, and there's actually somebody riding it. Now, the internet exploded with, "Oh, that's fake. Oh, that can't possibly be. Oh no, this isn't real." And the more it got into it and the more coverage it got and the more people from real news sources mm-hmm. who actually jumped on the thing and actually wrote it, that started to come back and go, okay, well, actually, this is real. They do have a working prototype of it. So it's kind of interesting.
I just got to mm-hmm. look at the price.
It's about $10,000 is what they
We have the same, Sanford and Son thing coming.
So it's I initially approached the floating pallet with caution. This is from one of the reporters, expecting it to dip and bob under my weight like a piece of driftwood. It didn't. The levitating board wiggled slightly under my 200-pound frame, but maintained its altitude mm-hmm. a mere inch or so above the surface without visible strain. ArxPax tells me that the current prototype could easily support 300 pounds and future versions would be able to hold up to 500 pounds without issue. Now, the cool thing about this and what they're not talking about is the applications past just this being a hoverboard.
Pallets, warehouses.
If you had
a
copper
floor. I don't care about any other applications. This is cool.
Very cool. I mean, the geeky part of it is very cool, but the practical mm-hmm. applications of this are huge.
Yeah.
To be able to move large objects over surfaces without being on wheels or tracks or mm-hmm. or rails or whatever else that they're using. This is huge. I mean, this could this could be a very, very big thing.
For $10,000, this skateboard can be yours.
This
no, but you're right. There's other practical applications. This is going to be interesting to keep an eye on that and see where it goes.
That's the reason he said in the video that's why he made it, was to be able to, or one of the things was specifically what you just said, moving things around in a warehouse
right.
or whatever, you know.
Right. Could you imagine it where I think it'd be awesome is in hospitals where you're moving patients, critically injured patients around, where every bump in the surface on the hallways and the cracks in the floors and so forth, you know, you jar patients and for just their comfort to be able to float them across. That could be huge.
Just like Han and carbonite.
Yeah, exactly. When you encase someone in carbonite, it's pretty easier heavy. To actually move them around when they're hovering.
Yeah. It's pretty heavy. Use the Hendo
Han Hendo. The Han Hendo hover platform.
That's what I was thinking when you said the Hendo. I'm like, the Hondo? Hendo?
Hey, I got a way to fix the problem about the, you have to be on a copper surface.
Mm.
What you should do is just cut a big square of copper and pull it along with you.
There might need to be current or something in there to.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the technology is there, how that actually. But it's got to be some sort of maglev. So I'm assuming that there's some sort of reverse current going on there.
All right.
I think you said they were shaping the magnetic fields to make it be able to go in certain directions.
Mm-hmm.
So like they could shift it and have it go more magnetic in one direction than the other and pull it, that kind of thing.
Right. So it's definitely one to watch. This is a technology that is fast evolving, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Craig, you spotted this in the somewhere ether sphere and added this, but I have no idea what I'm looking at. It's titled "How to Beat Red Light Cameras," which get you for running red lights.
So this is a North Carolina tag.
Yes.
And if you look at it closely, it has a single apostrophe and it says "or 0 equals" and another apostrophe 0.
It looks like some sort of regular expression.
Yeah.
Well, I think the idea is if the red light camera snaps a picture of your license and maybe does some OCR stuff.
Is this like a SQL injection or something?
You better be sanitizing your SQL statements because wipe your database possibly.
That's nice setup.
I don't think this would actually wipe anything out, but it would definitely would break a SQL statement or something.
OR 0 equals 0. That's awesome.
And the quotes are important because I don't know how they got a license plate with those on them, but they probably taped them on or something.
Had to have.
Mine can't read delete tables or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're actually figuring out ways to inject inject malicious code into cameras. I love this idea. Sorry, your computer your traffic camera now has a virus.
Everybody at the motor vehicles division is now going to be standing around and going, "What happened? We just took a picture of a bad license plate. Now nobody can get licenses today. Come back tomorrow when we recover from backup tape."
I'm just trying to figure out how somebody would get the apostrophe. I don't know if that's a valid.
It's a piece of tape.
Well, yeah, you can put that stuff on. I mean, people put hyphens on their vanity plates all the time out here.
That's awesome. I like that. Normally, we'd give a shout out to the chat room at this point, but we are still working on the streaming capabilities on this end. There are some investments and rewiring and things that need to go on. But for the moment, enjoy our nice quality, and we'll let you know via Facebook and other means when we are streaming and have a chat room and things going again, because we love it when people participate and make snarky comments there, or sometimes they pay no attention and just have their own little conversation going on the side, but that's okay with us.
Donates are appreciated.
We don't pay attention to them anyway.
Yeah, thanks. My donations are appreciated.
Donations are appreciated, and they will help this
process. We do pay attention to you.
Greatly.
That music can only mean one thing, and it's time for Remember When! And this is very appropriate because the music always reminds me of the late 50s, early 60s. And Kraft Foods, apparently in 1959, gave away a real spaceship simulator. I love this.
Wow,
this
nice.
Is great. You will be the envy of every boy and girl in America if you win this Aerojet General Space Trainer Giant. So realistic, it almost seems you could fly to the moon. Just given a winning name, it's yours. I have to wonder, who won this thing and where is it now?
It's made out of cardboard boxes left over in the back of the craft food
store. No, because in 59 they didn't do stuff like that. You know where it probably is? It's probably in Rick from American Restoration. It's in his supply yard with all the Coke machines.
You know what? I have half a mind to call Kraft Food and ask them.
Do an interview.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this thing.
1955, correct? Yeah.
If you were a kid in the if you were an American kid in the 50s or 60s, you were bombarded with the amazing promise, one day when you're all grown up, you would be able to vacation on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's only for Richard Branson when he was a little boy. But until then, you have to settle for the space adventure TV shows and comic books. Unless, of course, you won this real live space simulator from 1959. In 59, the Kraft Food Company held a contest, advertising far and wide in comic books and newspapers. Kids were offered the opportunity to win space-themed prizes. Just send in a copy of an ad and an empty bag of Kraft marshmallows. Or wait, are we saying marshmallows now?
Marshmallows. What?
Okay. And you could win any number of goodies. There are telescopes. Very cool. Moon cars. Have to imagine that was like a pedal car of some type.
Sure.
Toy missile launchers, which I'm sure came off the market quickly based on the title. Kind of like lawn darts.
Yeah, well, not back then. Lawn darts were still available until the 70s.
And you needed a toy missile launcher to keep the communists out of your backyard, apparently. Spaceship model kits and giant Hammond space maps. Ooh.
Yeah,
I remember those.
This was 10 years before the moon landing. So, I mean, this was the precursor.
Very forward thinking.
Yeah, this is very forward thinking.
This is like Nostradamus level.
Yeah, from Kraft, right?
Yeah.
Eat your mac and cheese, kids.
Yeah.
But the real treat was the grand prize, an actual spaceship simulator built by an actual space tech company that could fit you and three of your friends.
Wow.
I don't think I had three friends at that age.
Oh, really?
This is a little bit before my time. No, I had a family of nine. I didn't need any friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Your big concern was eating.
All right. Wow. Well, I mean, the mock-up picture looks pretty impressive.
Where would you put this if you got it? It looks like it's
probably out in your yard.
A school bus.
It does look pretty big. I wonder if that's, well, it has to be because there's actually a projector in the front of it that projects on the screen. And wow.
Oh, yeah, projector in the nose cone that brings up a view screen, and then there's a station, what almost looks like a control panel of
Holy
some type
cow.
For each of the four passengers.
So there's four people, there's four consoles, there's four people, there's a, wow.
This would be a fun reconstruction.
You know what? I was just thinking that. It's like,
oh, great.
I'd like to see the actual plans of this, or see it and try to recreate that.
Donna, we're getting rid of the pool.
We'll just turn the pool into a space simulator.
I'm not sitting in one of these things in a Phoenix summer. You could put a pizza in that sucker.
Well, we'll put an air conditioner in the nose, in the tail section where the engine goes.
Hey, you know what? I was just thinking it'd be funny if, well, the movie Gravity, where she's trying to find a way to get down to Earth. And all of a sudden, this comes floating by.
In the Technorama re-edited version, we will do that.
Well, you have one more option. There is the Kraft Foods rocket ship that was launched into space in the 1950s. You can use that to go back to Earth.
You missed
a
word.
They actually made a real one.
It was unintentionally launched.
Unintentionally launched.
Launch! 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 Oh no!
But Mom, I wanted to get it into space.
Yeah, let's go for lunch. No, I thought you said launch.
All right, we have a bit of interesting news from many moons ago. Craig, would you like to read this one?
Yes, I would. More than a century ago, Captain Robert Falcon Scott's ill-fated Antarctic expedition, the photographic notebook of George Murray Leverick, a surgeon, zoologist, and photographer on that voyage, has been discovered at Scott's final expedition base at Cape Evans in Antarctic Ross Island, Antarctica's Ross Island. It's an exciting find, says Nigel Watson, executive director of New Zealand's Antarctic Heritage Trust, in a statement. The notebook is a missing part of the official expedition record. After spending 7 years conserving Scott's last expedition building and collections, we are delighted to be finding new artifacts, which, if you look at the picture of this thing, it's actually pretty well preserved, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Everything in Antarctica is pretty well preserved.
Yeah. There's no bacteria.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I don't know if y'all have read the story about the Scott's expedition or not. I got a book here that I read.
Yes. There's a book called Endurance that I read.
That's what I've got.
Oh, that is awesome. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's interesting. There are a lot of photographs, and that's what I kept thinking. I wonder who's taking all these pictures, and that's probably the guy right there. And he has information about, I think in the video I watched, they were talking about some of the information that was in the book. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they found, what was it, a case of whiskey or scotch or something that... I don't think
they drank it before they got it back. But.
There were only two bottles left. I don't know what happened.
Weird whiskey.
They recovered a case of that stuff, and it went for buku dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More than the beans.
Much more.
In the lead-lined tin can.
Yeah.
Where's our media corner?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
We really need to redo that sound file for you.
Is it bugging you? The volume jumps up there?
The hiss.
The hiss.
That's because it was recorded in a Blockbuster video store.
Really?
Yes. Awesome. I just stood there for like 30 seconds recording ambient noise. So whatever that movie is, I don't know, but I love the line where it finally fades out and goes, "You look scared."
That makes that awesome.
I do need to bring that up a little bit, though. It was a little low. Anyway... Speaking of sounds and rockets and things, NASA is now listing a lot of their sound effects and audio clips on SoundCloud. Just go to soundcloud.com/NASA and you can get such awesomeness as, of course, a Delta IV launch. Wait.
Wow.
Okay.
That was the sound of that simulator going up in space.
It was going to ludicrous speed.
hey, I heard that on Wall-E.
We also have things like, where is it?
Godspeed, John Glenn.
Change your Speaking shorts when you get back. And of course,
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
Now, the one I want...
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
There's the decade.
The decade. Yeah. I want to know what the other things were.
Those other things, yes.
Those other things we did in the 60s.
What was the other things?
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and other things.
And smoke pot with the Grateful Dead.
I am really looking forward to... Woodstock.
And those other things.
That's just it. The smoking pot made him forget what the other things were.
There were some cool sounds in here. It looks like they've added more, so I think it's gotten pushed down. There was some ambient noise from space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Very haunting.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool. It was kind of eerie.
Solar system and beyond sounds.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not it. All right, that wasn't the solar system sound. I must have scrolled down a wee bit too far. Where'd it go?
Solar system beyond sounds right there.
Good. That's what I had. We have the Sputnik beep. That struck fear into the hearts of millions of people, believe it or not, once upon a time.
I watched the Voyager
Lightning. The Voyager Lightning on Jupiter.
There was one in here that just sounded creepy as all get out. Where was it? Was it the casino? It was the Enceladus sounds. Listen to it.
Sounds like somebody coming to Earth to land.
Or it sounds like that rocket from 1959 on a movie.
Yeah.
It does sound
who
like
knew,
you know,
who knew that they actually had that accurate?
We need whenever more theremin this back there.
When I keep hearing the Sputnik thing, I keep thinking Iron Giant.
Beep, beep, yeah, beep, beep.
The theremin, you know, just doesn't get the appreciation like no, it used to.
But it is in every sci-fi movie worth its weight in VHS.
VHS. Wow.
We have one odd bit of trivia before we go and before Craig launches into a story.
Oh, that's just too perfect to not
I know.
Be real.
The man who invented the Pringles can, not the Pringles chip and the process, but the Pringles can, was buried inside a Pringles can.
That is
these were found
awesome
at Scott Station in Antarctica.
Yeah. So is the guy who invented Smucker's jelly going to be buried in a jelly jar? And I'm wondering is, you know, I don't want to invent anything like a toilet float or something.
I'm not being buried in this studio. I'm sorry. That's all there is to
John
it.
Crapper was buried in a crapper.
This is Pringles varieties are vast and varied as the stars in the sky. Well, how befitting that we tie these things together. Barbecue, sour cream and onion, buffalo ranch, extreme blazin' buffalo ranch, but none singles Pringles, but one single Pringles can exist on this earth with a particular sort of flavor, dust, and no chips at all. The Pringles can that holds the ashes of its inventor, Frederick Bauer. As the Times explains, when Bauer died back in 2008, his children made sure to fulfill the man's unique final wish. According to this picture, it looks more like insulation.
Come on, kids, we're going to go visit Grandpa. I know he smells like sour cream and chai, but it's all right.
I'm never eating sour cream and chai again. Here's his final wish. When my dad first raised the burial idea in the 80s, I chuckled about it, said Bauer's eldest son, Larry, now 49. He told Time, Larry Bauer quickly realized his father was serious. Family jokes circulated about the Pringles plan, but no one questioned the elder Bauer's decision. Was he all there at the time?
Well,
so when Frederick Bauer died after a battle with Alzheimer's, Larry and his siblings stopped at Walgreens for a burial can.
Because that's where I go for my burial supplies.
Contact Pringles,
cheap,
maybe?
A cheap urn.
So they ate the chips to empty it.
And how do you answer the question in the counter? Did you find everything okay?
Wow.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, they, yeah, oh but they were, real, they were on
their way. Let's don't get an empty can. Hey, let's don't get an empty can. Let's get some chips we can have for the memorial service.
That's what Scott and I did for the SantaBot costume at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, how does this look? Good. Even if it doesn't work, we have chips to eat.
What flavor did they use? Oh, they did the original flavor. Okay. I see.
These chips smell like Grandpa.
Wow. There's something rather awesome about this, in all seriousness, though.
I'm surprised Pringles didn't get behind it somehow, or they asked Pringles, or, you know, for a fresh can, maybe? I don't know.
Is it biodegradable?
He is.
Do not... You have to train all the grandchildren, though. Do not eat that can of Pringles.
Yeah. This can of Pringles tastes like dirt.
Reminds me of a story of my younger brother and sister when we lived in an old Victorian home. You know, they had the fireplaces, and then the ashes would go down this little chute to the basement. Mm-hmm. And then you open up the cast iron door, and you shovel out the ashes. That's how you cleaned your fireplaces way back when.
Right.
Well, in one of those little iron crevices, chimney cleanouts, was a tin about 10 inches around. Mm-hmm. And inside of that tin were some cookies. And we have no idea how old these cookies were, but they ate them.
Oh, great.
Because, oh, of course. Why wouldn't you?
Because they taste like Grandpa Pringles.
Well, I mean, you can do so much with your dead now. I mean, I'm serious. I mean,
when you're dead or when you're dead.
Think about it. Think about it. When you're dead. Sorry, I missed a word.
The Henry Gibson clip from what was that movie? Kentucky Fried Movie about
when you said what you can do with your dead. I was thinking of the movie
Walking Dead.
No, the 80s one.
Kentucky Fried Movie.
No,
he lost it.
All right.
Dang it.
So anyway, you can do a lot now. I mean, you can have your loved ones formed into diamonds. You've seen that one,
press
right?
The carbon.
Yeah. I mean, you can shoot them into space. You can drop them over the Niagara Falls. That's a big one.
A weekend at Bernie's. There you go.
Oh, weekend at Bernie's.
Glad he got that in before the end of the show.
There you go.
Wow.
Because somebody would have called in with that, you know.
And even if they edit the show in and just stuck it in there in the middle.
Yeah. No clue that was edited in later. Even if they're not dead, you could always turn them into zombies. I mean, they're already zombies, but Craig, where did you ran into a zombie recently?
Yeah. Actually, nice here in segue. Rock Hill, we had the zombie crawl this weekend. It's a 5K event, and what they have humans, aka bait, and they have zombies, mm-hmm. and they give the humans a minute head start, and then the zombies take off. I'll talk about that in a second.
Are they World War Z speed zombies?
Oh yes, these were fast people.
Oh, fast zombies.
Fast zombies. So anyway, part of the event was Addie Miller, who was the first zombie in The Walking Dead, first episode.
The little girl with the teddy bear at the gas station.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was there. She was the grand marshal for the 5K. So if you signed up early, you get to go in and get her autograph and a picture and all that kind of stuff. So I went in and I asked her when we stepped up there, I introduced myself and my son was with me. And I asked her, did they make her go through the zombie college that I know a lot of actors have to do for The Walking Dead? You know, if you want to be a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she did, and she obviously graduated. That's what she said. So, okay. But she was very nice. And I think it was her mom that was up there helping her out too, you know, showing people back and forth. So, yeah, they were all pretty cool. And so we got a picture with her.
Harrison asked her out?
Well, she's a couple of years older than he is, I think.
So?
Go ahead, Harrison, put your moves on her.
Do what I showed you.
Yeah, do what I showed. Just like your old man.
Oh, wow. And on that note,
that's so wrong.
So anyway, so let me tell you about the 5K. All right, so the humans have they give all the humans like little flags to hang off their shorts. So the people, the zombies, could run by and grab them.
Okay? Like flag football for the dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Flag football for the dead, exactly.
Yeah, so the horn goes, you know, they blow the horn and everybody starts running, the humans start running. And as soon as we turn the corner, right down the road, we turn the corner to go keep going down the course, I hear the horn again. And you should have seen everybody's faces are like, oh, crap, you know, because they knew the zombies were going to start coming. So you could see everybody kind of pick it up just an extra step or two. But it was funny to see that attitude. Like, what? It's been a minute already? Oh, my gosh, here they come. So, I wish I had a GoPro. I would have faced it behind me, you know, to see the zombies running up on me. That would have been fun. But it was a great event, and it was for the Heart to Heart Foundation here in town. And they help fund, I guess, research for heart, you know, conditions, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you for that.
Actually, and on a footnote, I actually ran two 5Ks that day.
So 10K.
I only planned on one, right? So my dad decided he wanted to run in the pumpkin run early Saturday. So I was like, you know what? What the hell? I can do it. And so I ran two races that day, and I was kind of beat towards the end of the night. So it was a lot of fun.
Zombies just crept into the feed there.
They did. You're going to have to listen to the playback on that. That was cool.
Do what?
The zombies hijacked Skype for a second.
That was great.
Wonderful.
No, it was actually awesome.
It was a good effect.
I haven't heard that effect for a while. That's pretty cool.
we are going to bring it to a close now. Thank you very much. Yeah, the fun has to end sometime. But join us next week when we have yet a different cast of characters.
Wait a minute. We need a sound effect of a bunch of kids going, oh, when you say that.
I'm sure we got one somewhere.
Yeah, there's someone around here. Somewhere.
Could always do what I did in the parade. Good news, everyone. The parade is over. Go home now.
Yeah.
Go now. Go.
If you want to get on the show or leave us feedback, hopefully a little more detailed than some of the stuff we had tonight, call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428. We love you, even if you just say hello. Or email us an audio clip like Mad Marv did, technorama at chuckchat.com. You can also find out all the details for all that good stuff over on the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. If you can't spell it, there's a big icon that says Technorama right there. Just go to the Chuck Chat site.
Can't miss it.
Thanks to Mad Marv for providing all the blog content during the week, and those of you who sent us links, there were some contributors this week. We just had so much stuff. Thank you for listening and downloading. We love you very much. And until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.
Brains.
Wow, that was pretty good.
That was.
Yeah, awesome.